Dan Mack is back, and this year she has sought out the best customer-centric thought leaders from around the world. Are you after practical, accessible, and customer-centric marketing? You're in the right place. Sit back and enjoy Dan's Small Business Podcast. For more information, go to www.daniellemackinnis.com or visit www.mackinnismarketing.com.au.
The background behind the book, but tell me how you came to do it. What was the sort of impetus to actually get writing? Because that's a big effort.
Yes. So the book first came to me as a presentation. I did a talk about making marketing pay was the theme that I was given. And the talk that I put together was entitled Buckets, Funnels and Taps, where my whole premise was that sales funnels don't exist, because the funnels in my kitchen, when you pour the water into the top, it all comes out the bottom. And wouldn't that just be wonderful if that were true? if the analogy really does fit. So that was in October 2009. Mm-hmm. And I had been kind of freelance consulting for a year after leaving my corporate director of marketing role with Experian Marketing Services in the UK, and had been thoroughly enjoying working with smaller businesses. So going from the corporate, big kind of corporate treacle, to smaller businesses where decisions can be made very quickly. Mm. And what I absolutely love about smaller entrepreneur-driven businesses is that you can have an idea in the morning and be doing something about it in the afternoon. What I absolutely hate about small business marketing is that you can make a mistake in the morning, and have fully paid for that mistake by the afternoon. And all the MDs that I was working with, and then continue to work with after this presentation and the idea developed, you know, they've built businesses on the basis of being brilliant at what they do. So they're normally technical experts of some kind, not marketing-brained people. And you know, we're struggling to really articulate what marketing is, what it does. They know they needed to get someone to do it, but they didn't know the questions to ask, and they wouldn't have known the right answers anyway. So I kind of started doing these 12-month transformation programs, where over a 12-month period I would take a business from not having a marketing operation to having one. And if I'd done a good job, then I would leave them with a functioning marketing operation and an MD who understood marketing. And that was probably my key differentiator, is that I've only ever worked with MDs, and my whole purpose is to make sure that the MD has clarity and structure to understand how marketing turns into sales results. And a few of them said, well, can you write it down for me? I found myself drawing the same diagrams in every meeting and having lots of the same conversations. So I thought a book was the way to go.
Absolutely.
It only took 4 years.
Yes, well, it's great. So can you sort of go through your description of the funnel? And the various sort of bits that are involved, because I think it's, I think the way that you describe it is really good, and I like also how you sort of describe it from the, you know, the customer's perspective, because I think that's great.
Thank you. My kind of clarion cry on the use of the term sales pipeline or sales funnel is to almost kind of delete it from your brain and replace it with buckets, funnels and taps. And if you think of that image where you have a bucket at the bottom and then funnels directing to it and then taps, what I've found in many small businesses is that you go in as a marketing consultant and what they think they need in that picture is more taps. Whereas actually when you do some investigating, what you find is they've either got a leaky bucket and therefore they could run the taps as hard as they like, but they really would be wasting all their money. Or, you know, they are generating interest, but it's not converting and they don't have those funnels in place. So the picture I draw for people is with a you know, a bucket at the bottom. And that's all of those things that come together to make your products and services something that people want to stay with, keep buying. Then I look at funnels, and that's a plural, not a singular, because actually people take zigzaggy journeys through their buying decision, and you need to make sure that you have a few stopping points on the way. And, you know, people do exit from the process. And I'm not saying in watertight marketing that every single person who's interested will become a customer. What I'm saying is that you might have, you know, you might have exit points, but you're more in control of them.
Mm.
You choose who can, you know, whom you would invite to bring forward on that journey, rather than them exiting because you've not got the right stuff in place.
Yeah.
And then it's taps. And that's what most people think of marketing. And that's telling the world about what you do. And in a great many cases, what I've found is that through that process, I've identified what I've called the 13 touchpoint leaks. And that is a kind of amalgamation of all the most common ways that I've seen businesses waste their money on marketing. And they start at the bottom and work up so that every improvement that you make incrementally builds on the last. Because if you start by fixing the taps and running the taps harder, you are necessarily continuing to waste money. Mm. So what I always say to people with looking at marketing is kind of to turn on your head, completely turn on its head, the way that most people think of doing marketing improvements. So they think, right, I need to up my marketing, let's tell more people about what we do. Whereas I say, no, start at the bottom, make what you do brilliant, and make sure there are great stepping stones in place to invite people through to wanting what it is that you do, and then tell the world about it.
Mm.
And often that you don't need to spend a great deal more on what people call marketing if you get those two earlier steps right.
Yeah, it's sort of almost like getting the foundations or the fundamentals right before you get full steam ahead, yeah.
Yes.
And I think that makes a lot of sense because the only issue that I, well, there is, because there's so many people think marketing is turning on that tap, sometimes it's a difficult conversation to say we need to go back and consolidate and do these fundamental things. Like logically, it makes sense. But from a visibility point of view, you are going back and actually, you know, almost re-engineering and looking at what they're doing and sort of correcting those foundational things so that it will work better. So sometimes initially there's not a lot of, you know, lead generation that happens immediately because you've got to do this stuff to make it work long term. I think that sort of, although I think the marketing or the small business is becoming more educated and understands that, you know, that this isn't a once-off thing and then it makes sense to invest in doing it properly. So the conversation's becoming easier. But certainly there's a lot of quick fixes out there and to have that conversation, it is a, you know, sometimes it's a challenge for small businesses that have been continually bombarded by, you know, just run a Google ad or you just need to do, you know, a new website or you just need to do another email campaign. Really tactical stuff.
Completely. You put your finger on very much the frustration that that I have experienced, and with all of my clients, because we are effectively slowing down to speed up or stepping backwards to go forward, however, whatever kind of metaphor works for you. Often it can be 6 months, it can be 9 months before people really start to see a difference. Mm. But when it does start to kick in, it's the, you know, it then steps up, you start to see traction. And it does take a very brave, someone, you know, an MD with real vision and an understanding of how this all works to do that. Mm. And that is why I work with MDs. And that's why watertight marketing is written for MDs and entrepreneurs. Because if it comes from the top and if the person at the top genuinely understands the logic of it, the structure of it, the way, you know, the way these things actually work, then they can kind of hold the faith. And I've found no other way of doing it. This can't this can't really be driven by a marketing manager or an external consultant, or it has to come from the owner of the business. And my, you know, my real focus is to help entrepreneurs to get a bit of a marketing mindset in place, because the different, you know, if when you look at the businesses that really take off, you will find that at the helm is someone who gets marketing.
Mm.
And very, very often those businesses didn't, you know, they might look like they were overnight success, but they weren't. Mm. When you do the digging, they, you know, they've worked really hard at honing their products and services. So a number of people, MailChimp is an example that people use a lot. They're forever free accounts, and they were nowhere, and then suddenly they were everywhere.
Yeah.
And actually, MailChimp spent years selling the MailChimp product to corporates for a lot of money, and working on every little nuance of that product before they took it out to the world. And they really, you know, they honed and nailed their customer service before they went mass market.
Mm.
Because if they hadn't had that service and stuff, you know, even the service ethos in mind when they went mass market, then they would have just, you know, gone, we wouldn't be talking about them, they would have gone in a moment.
Mm, absolutely. And I think that's right. It's almost like, you know, the CEO or the MD needs to have an investment mindset and a strategic mindset and see marketing as one of those building blocks, if not one of the most important building blocks.
Yes.
To actually grow their business and to have a purposeful, you know, approach to it. And I definitely see that. I think often when I go in and sort of do this audit of where are we and where do we need to be and what's the gap, what I really liked is that you've identified, you know, quite a number of those in terms of, you know, even if you just identify the leaks and the taps and that sort of thing. I think the thing that struck me was, you know, it is a really strategic approach, and it's actually going back and looking at, you know, whether it's branding or whether it's the tools you're using or whether it's, you know, the customer satisfaction. It's an overall strategic view of marketing, not just a section of it.
Yes, because one thing leads to the next, and, you know, these things are all interdependent. And, you know, the part one of the book, which is the part that's free on the website, is exactly that. It just helps you to pinpoint where the issues are. And what I've found really interesting when people do go through that touchpoint leaks kind of traffic lighting is that there's a moment of panic that covers, you know, that passes over their face when they realise that, you know, that it's all orange and red very often. And that's so much better than blithely thinking it's all on green.
Mm.
Because, you know, once you know where the issues are, and in what order to address them, you are in so much, you know, you're in such the place you're at is worlds apart than kind of not knowing that you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, that is a really, and that's really powerful, isn't it? Just to know where the issues are and the order in which they're best addressed.
Absolutely. It's like a roadmap. And given that, you know, I just feel like there's access to so much more information and that we're, you know, collecting so much more information, it's good to know what we should be focusing on because we've got access to it, but I just don't think they know what to do with it.
Yes.
And I think the other thing that I really enjoyed about the book was, you know, often it's in their backyard. I don't know if you find this, but often I go into a business and I ask them about, you know, have they got a list of their customers? And, you know, more often than not that they do, but they've never, you know, they hardly ever speak to them. I remember going to one client, she had a contact list of 10,000 and she had probably touched them once or twice, and yet she was throwing all of this money at trying to get new customers. And I just thought, oh, my God. You know,
that's amazing.
It is. And, you know, but it's sort of understandable because I guess they haven't really thought about it in a strategic way. And there would be hundreds of businesses that are in that situation where they're just chasing the new stuff and not looking after what could potentially be, you know, an upsell, cross-sell, or, you know, just even nurturing what they've got in terms of referral.
Well, or keeping what they've got.
Exactly.
You know, the churn and bounce. The I also think there's a critical moment. There's a concept in the book called the welcome window, and I absolutely believe that lots of people think that because you've got a customer record and it's called a customer record on your system, that somehow that means they're a customer. And, you know, because they're a customer on your systems does not mean that they are a customer in their own mind. And to my, by my definition, it's only when they would call themselves a customer that they're really a customer. And there is a, there's like a critical, there's a honeymoon period between when they give you some money and when they would tick the box to say, yes, this business has met my expectations. And if you let them down in that period of time, then they're off. Mm. And it, I mean, that can, that will depend on the nature of your business. In an, in an e-commerce business where you you're delivering a product online, like a, you know, an information product, that could be hours. Mm. In a consultancy business, that could be a couple of months. But if you look at that moment in time and just have a structured set of communications that check in with people to see that you have indeed met their expectations and you are there to help, then getting someone from handing over their cash to actually being a customer in their own mind is, you know, is a critical, is a critical leap to make.
Mm, absolutely. So what do you feel is the right mix between, you know, lead generation activities and customer service, or being, you know, retaining what you've got? What's the right mix or approach?
Obviously, it'll depend on the market and the nature of the business, but I think the customer service absolutely has to come first, because it, because what goes around comes around. What a, the phrase I use in the book is commercial karma. Mm. And it's a principle that I think really resonates with people. And in a socially connected world, you kind of can't get away with anything anymore. So I think brilliant customer service breeds excellent word of mouth, which generates leads. Yeah. So I would definitely start with customer service, and then I would probably spend a bit more on customer service, and then I would drive word of mouth referral. I would equip your customers with the, you know, with the tools to go out and kind of advocate on your behalf. MailChimp are a great example of that. You know, their signature is on the bottom of all the Forever Free accounts. Mm. They make it easy for their customers to say how great they are, and own, you know, once you've got a bank of people who genuinely love what you do, mm-hmm. then spend some money on telling a few more people about it. Because when you spend money telling a few more people about it, one of the first things they're going to do is ask somebody else.
Absolutely, and it does. It markets its business, you know, for itself, yes. almost.
And in a connected world, it's really easy these days to find someone who is in some way connected to the company you're thinking about doing some business with. So, you know, even if it's LinkedIn, so you're about to engage a consultant to do whatever, you hop on LinkedIn and you find a common connection, you pick up the phone to them and you say, you know, what's this company like? Mm. So again, you know, the people to whom you're connected as customers, either will drive leads for you, or they become the third party that a potential new business turns to say, what are these people really like?
Mm. I wanted to ask you a question about technology, and what I'm saying is, at the moment, you know, there's a number of tools that that a small business, or, you know, just a business needs in terms of being able to manage its marketing, its communication with its customers. And so, you know, you'll come across things like, you know, a website with a content management system, having a database, which might be, you know, a CRM or a customer relationship management tool, having social media touch points, having feedback systems and forms. And what I'm tending to find is, you might go into a client and they'll have a mixture of, or none of, or they're ready to throw it all out and start again. And I'm just wondering, you know, what would be your practice in terms of, you know, what they need to actually service the demands of running a system well?
Yeah, great question. I think it depends on how well financed a business is in startup. I think if you're doing a kind of lean startup bootstrap, then you know, you do need to make them. Yeah, well, you know, Excel and spreadsheets are very powerful. There was a wry, sarcastic smile on my face when I said that. There are some great systems that are very, very cheap, but I think really they only work when you have a fairly small team who can therefore keep on top of the crossovers and the compromises you make in order to either make the most of free or nearly free products.
Yeah.
I think, again, this is about being driven from the top, and the MD of a smaller business making some really sensible decisions about the systems that come on stream. Mm-hmm. So I've recently been working in a business where each head of has effectively introduced a new system. Mm-hmm. So there's a finance system, there's a sales system, there's an email system, there's a traffic tracking system, there's a CRM, there's a customer service module, all of which come from a different technology. Mm-hmm. And each of those heads of has made a really sound argument that the one they've gone for is best of breed for what they do. Mm-hmm. But for a business overall, it can be appropriate to make compromises in each of those areas for the kind of greater good of things talking to each other.
Absolutely.
So I would say before bringing on another technology, because it is best of breed for finance or best of breed for bug tracking or whatever it might be, think twice and see whether a technology that you're already running has a module or, you know, something that does something very similar. And it can be worth making a compromise in excellence in each area for a system that overall keeps track of how these things work together.
Yeah, because I've got a lot of clients in construction, and, you know, some of these, which would have been considered, you know, maybe even 10 years ago, that, you know, they wouldn't really have invested in marketing at all, have now seen, and a lot of professional services are in this case where they see now the opportunity before them, maybe that it's forced their hand, that they have to actually, you know, invest in this area. So they have these legacy or systems that are good for estimating, let's say, for construction, or the account systems, you know, MYOB or whatever it is, or Xero.
Yep.
But when it comes to actually performing a marketing task, it just doesn't. And similarly with sales, you know, they haven't relied on a Salesforce, now they're relying on a Salesforce. So it's a whole nother decision. And I just think that there's a big opportunity for some of these cross-functional platforms, you know, whether it's HubSpot or Marketo, I don't know, to actually come and do some vertical positioning, because they don't know what to choose and they're sort of stuck because they don't really have the technical prowess to actually make the decision. So they're relying on their previous IT, you know, consultant, who may not have any idea from a marketing perspective how this is going to give them, you know, touch points that are seamless. So it's a really interesting query.
Yeah, a fascinating area. And I, you know, I think with all the various social media tools these days, you know, so like as simple as CRM systems not having a field for Twitter IDs or LinkedIn IDs or whatever, you know, so that they're, I think those, you have to stay on top of it. And I think an MD, it's incumbent for that an MD of an organisation has a handle on the way that communication happens within and across their business, because it's only when you've got all that information that you can provide brilliant customer service, that you can, you know, that you can deliver on the promises you make.
Mm-hmm.
I can't recommend one technology over another. There are so many.
I suppose it's more just being aware. I guess that raises a question for me in terms of being a marketer, how the role has changed, you know, from being somebody that, you know, may have had a deep theoretical knowledge of marketing, to somebody that has a practical experience of marketing and a IT knowledge, and I would even say almost a psychographic knowledge of what's going on, like the skills required to, you know, to reach across the all of the playing field that marketing from a strategic perspective has, is quite broad and in some ways quite deep.
And isn't that why it's so brilliant? I absolutely love that marketing touches on practically everything. You know, it's the creativity, it's the science, it's, you know, kind of the data manipulation, the stats, the psychology, IT, you know, visual communication, design. Written communication design. It is one, honestly, one of the most varied and all-encompassing areas. And if a marketing strategist, when you're, you know, if you're a small business and you're looking for a marketing strategist, you really are looking for someone who's just a really well-rounded human being, who has seen quite a lot of life and really rolled their sleeves up over a number of years and worked this stuff out. And I just I don't think there's any other way of getting to a point of being able to advise a small business on marketing strategy than having lived it for a number of years. Yeah. And I, you know, I do small businesses in particular, and because money is tight, often have, you know, the receptionist come marketing person, or, you know, they make cost-effective use of internships or recent graduates. And I think all of those things are fantastic, and I think people should be given opportunities. But that person so needs the support of that strategic, you know, the breadth that you just can't. There is no other way of fitting in and having gathered that much understanding other than having been around for a while.
And also wanting to be somebody that wants to be across it, because you know, it doesn't stop. I used to think that. Yeah, I used to think that there was quite a bit to marketing, but I think it's grown. I think it's grown in just because of the channels and just because of the, you know, the mechanisms that we now have. And my husband's an architect, and it's quite a, you know, well-rounded discipline with a lot of sort of things that you have to take into consideration. But I challenge him now. I think that the breadth of knowledge that we need to know to do our jobs well is continually growing.
Yes. And I think that also points to the, you know, the kind of person that a small business might want to choose to work with is someone who's just got one of those brains that it's almost like an insatiable curiosity, you know, a kind of willingness to learn, but within some structure. So I do think that there are some, everyone goes on about marketing having been through some major revolution and, you know, social media has turned the world on its head and all these, you know, big statements. Mm-hmm. And I think in many ways there's some truth in that. But there's also the fundamental understanding of human beings. I think social media has made everything happen faster and your reach is vaster, but the human psychology that drives all that remains the same. So I think there's a structure to understanding how marketing works, which is, you know, in many ways what watertight marketing is all about. It's kind of those fundamentals and the structure, and then there are kind of new ways that people run that process.
Yes.
And I think you have to, it's a breadth and depth is the phrase you used, and I did a blog post last week on that very subject. And I think a strategic marketer has to be, you know, really across the breadth, and then there will be a few areas where they have, you know, some deep knowledge, but they have to know when they don't know, and they have to call in someone who really understands, because you just, all the subject areas that we've talked about, you know, no one can be an absolute minutiae expert on every single one of those disciplines.
Yeah, it's just impossible. I mean, you never do the client justice by...
You'd drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, you would.
So you really need a team, you know, you need a team of people who really know what they're doing, but that team needs to be brought together by someone who has the understanding of that course structure.
Exactly. I mean, I always say, if I know the right questions to ask, then that's what I need to know. I need to know enough to know the questions to ask. And I'm a bit of a, I guess my core is IT, and I just love it. I've got a HP background, and maybe that's why. But the other part of me is I really like that customer-centric view. I love to sit in the room and pretend I'm the customer. So, you know, I'm not going to ever be good at SEO, but I get it. But, you know, that's something I have to give to somebody. And I'm not a copywriter. I'm never going to be brilliant at that. Although I like to understand what the customer, you know, is thinking. But, you know, there's horses for courses. But you pick, I think you gravitate towards what your interests are, and hopefully that's also what you know, what you're good at. So...
Yeah, I think, you know, really good strategic marketers have they know when something is, you know, is right or not. So, you know, I can look at a piece of design and I can tell you it's a good piece of design as opposed to a bad piece of design, you know, or visual communication. I won't necessarily be able to tell you precisely the ratio of white space or character alignment or kerning or whatever that made one piece look great over another, but I can tell you which one will work. It's like when you walk into a freshly cleaned, tidied house. You don't look and go, "Oh wow, isn't that this place looks great because all the cushions are lined up and the nap of the carpet is all running in the right way." You just walk in and go, "Wow, this space feels great."
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the difference between good design, bad design, or any of the other disciplines. You need to know enough to know when you've got the right, when it feels right, and it does the job.
So, what's been the response to the book? Ronnie, how has it been received?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. I haven't looked on any of the non-UK sites, but Amazon in the UK, I think I've just got my 13th five-star rating, which was fantastic. Yeah, great. And I've gone back to the companies who were case studied in the book and offered them a kind of workshop of my time, and I've been and therefore met a number of their customers, and that's been fantastic. The phrase that came back to me last week, which I will definitely use and credit to the MD at Ovation Finance. He said, "Watertight marketing is the entrepreneur's essential marketing manual." Brilliant.
Oh, fantastic.
This guy's an independent financial advisor, but he'd make a much better copywriter.
Well, we might have a second job.
So, yes, no, it's been fantastic. This year has been very difficult for me on the family front, and the book launched in January, and then I kind of went off radar. I blinked, and it is now June. So, considering that I've done very little promotion, I've been overwhelmed, really.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So, yeah.
Well, I really appreciate you talking about it, and I'll put some links to it on the podcast. And, yeah, the material is awesome that you can download with it. It really just makes it simple to go through, and it's really logical. So I really liked it. I thought it was fantastic.
So, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you, Dan. Really great to talk to you today. And yeah, so head on over to watertightmarketing.com. Ask me whatever questions you like. And there's a Facebook group too, so if you want to join that, I'll chat to you on there.
Great.
Hey, thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to listen to this podcast. For more great marketing tips, go to Dan's blog at www.daniellemcginnis.com and sign up for her marketing tips, or visit her website at www.mcginnismarketing.com.au. Catch you next time.